is Luke 5, verse 1 to 11. In the church Bible, it's 1032, sorry. One day, as Jesus was standing there by the Lake of Galilee, with the people crowding around him, listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they had caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in other boat to come and help them. And they came to fill both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he all and his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, and Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, let everything, and followed with him.
Just to say, David Stevens' funeral has now been set for the 24th of September, Thursday the 24th, 1 o'clock at the crematorium. I'm working from memory, Barbara. 1 o'clock at the crematorium and 2:30 Thanksgiving service here. And next Sunday, we're extra celebrations. We're going to induct Martha Stringer as our new youth worker, but also it's a baptismal service, so Anne-Marie is going to be baptized. So great celebrations again next week. We sang earlier, "Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you have never failed and you won't start now." I guess most of us have heard of people like Guglielmo Marconi, John Logie Baird, Bill Gates. But I wonder if anyone has heard of Arthur Pedrick. Well, Arthur Pedrick was in the same fashion as these other great people. He was an entrepreneur, he was an inventor, and he patented 162 different inventions over a period of 15 years. He patented things like a bicycle with amphibious capability, an arrangement where a car could be driven from the back seat, several golf inventions, including a golf ball that could be steered in flight. Now, how useful is that? But perhaps his most creative idea was to irrigate the world's deserts by sending a constant supply of snowballs from the polar regions through a massive network of giant pea shooters. You will be greatly surprised when I tell you that all his inventions failed. You may not be setting yourself up as an inventor or an entrepreneur, but I wonder whether you feel along the way that you have in some way failed. Some hold to the misguided view that churches are full of puffed up hypocrites. My experience is the contrary to that. That within churches, church families are often made up with people who have a taunting shadow of perceived failure hovering over them. Something that perhaps there has been in the past, but still continues to hover. There are times when failure is not that important. I have failed my driving test twice. But the fact that I was young and passed it on the third attempt was no big deal. It was no big deal in 1961 when I and my dad at Butlins Skegness only came second in the father and son competition. I'm not bitter about it. I've had lower exam grades than I really wanted. But I've always had enough just to squeeze bar, over the bar. But then there have been other times where it's been far more serious, where that failure has resulted in relationships breaking down, where I have not been the best husband or the best father. When I have disappointed Jesus, and that is not speaker's rhetoric, that is my reality. And I'm not alone. There are others who are only coping with some sense of failure through addictions. There are those whose self-esteem is at rock bottom. There are those whose past mistakes continue to haunt. Let's see what Peter learned about failure in the story that Dan read for us. Might not have been uppermost in Jesus' mind to go fishing, but as always, Jesus would never let a divine opportunity pass him by. Luke 5 and chapter 2 records, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, actually Dan said Galilee, we schooled him in that because we decided he couldn't say Gennesaret. The people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. The people couldn't get enough of Jesus. He then sees two boats and men washing their nets, laying them down for the night. They were frustrated. A teenager of mine would have probably said pig sick, that they just couldn't sort of find anything in as they drew the nets up onto the boats. Jesus removes himself from the crowds who are buzzing around wanting to hear more of him, and he climbs into the boat that's owned by Simon Peter. It's not the first time that Jesus has done this, as the crowds begin to press in on him. And he asks Simon to take him out onto the lake as he continues to teach. Now, it's bad enough for Simon, who's had enough. He's been fishing. He's been quite a failure at his business. Not worked out at all for him. Wants to go home and have a cup of Ovaltine. And then Jesus says to him in verse 4, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon, being the rough Galilean fisherman, puts aside what he's really thinking, and the respect and the love that he has for Jesus says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. The subtext of that is, Jesus, you're off your rocker. I know more about fishing than you do. So mind your business. But because of the love and the respect, Peter knew he had to obey the master. So in verse 5, Simon speaks from his heart and not his head. And he says, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. The rest, as they say, is on the picture, down to history. They haul in the nets, and the nets are breaking because of the amount of fish that have been caught. Jesus the generous giver, the one who gives where there is this perception of fruitlessness, of failure. Peter wasn't expecting fish on that occasion. And on occasions, we're not expecting things from Jesus. But as Hannah reminded us right at the beginning of the service, our Father God is a loving Father who wants nothing than to give us the very, very best. Not often it's fish, but often he gives to us that we might grow spiritually. He gives to us so that we might cope better emotionally. He gives to us so that we can grow physically. And sometimes he just wants to show off, and he gives us something practical and tangible and obvious because he knows we really need it. And these are possible because God cares about you and he cares about every individual aspect of your life. He knows about our struggles. He knows about our temptations. He knows what's really going on in our lives. And he knows that sometimes our lives are caught up in this bigger drama that's beyond the immediate. Paul talks about this in Ephesians 6 when he says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Jesus sees things that we cannot see. And sometimes, incredibly, he loves us even more than we're able to love ourselves. We see Peter's reaction to all what's happening in verse 8. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Maybe Peter is experiencing something of this great battle between the righteousness of God and the struggle of humanity, of flesh and blood. The events were awesome. And in the presence of Jesus, Simon Peter feels so different. Would you close your eyes, please? Can you in your minds imagine that you're in a boat, even if you get a bit seasick, just live with it. Just put yourself in that boat. And then just imagine the Lord Jesus, Sovereign Lord, Almighty God, resurrected and alive, climbs into your boat. Just you and him. How do you feel? What's winning? Is it the pure joy of having Jesus alongside you and realizing just how much he loves you, that he wants to spend time with you individually? Or have some of you got that sense of guilt? Why should Jesus spend time with me? Jesus climbs in your boat. How do you feel? Do you feel important? Or do you feel unworthy? you feel you've got to explain why you've done what you've done, or do you feel liberated? The reason why Jesus would ever climb into your boat is because you're special to him. But he doesn't just only jump into boats. His spirit is with us in the rooms of our houses. And as we journey, Jesus journeys with us. We are that important to him. And he will never, ever see you as a failure. Never.
Open your eyes.
Letting Jesus in is the gold standard for living with fears of failure. As with Simon Peter, it starts with honesty and humility. Wise friends are a real blessing to us. Wise Christian friends are a real gift from God. But there is no surrogate for spending time with Jesus. If we want to be totally liberated, totally free of our guilt, then we need to spend time with Jesus. He will talk to us through his written word or by his spirit. He will talk to us and pour his wisdom upon us. He will remind us that it's not all about us, that it's not all our fault, that sometimes it's about other people and it's how we cope with them, and sometimes it's about Satan, who loves to get in and make mischief. He will remind us that sometimes we go through these fires and these difficulties. It's not because we're bad, or it's not because he wants us to fail, or indeed often that we have failed. But he just wants us to know that that could be the point of turning, that point of growth, that point of revelation, that point of going on with him. He'll be honest with us. Yeah, of course we're egocentric. Of course self is the biggest thing in our lives. But he will help us get that balance right. He wants to hear our confessions. Sometimes when we get it wrong, it's because we have got it wrong. And the best way of dealing with that is to confess it and get it out of the way. Because there is nothing that he cannot forgive. Peter referred to himself as a sinful man. Whether we like the language or not, we just need to pour it out and get it done with. If you're harboring thoughts about other people, get it done with. If you're not living the life that you say you're living, get it done with. It's as simple as that. It's about honesty. It's about humility. And it's about letting Jesus just flood you with his grace and moving on. Even if you fail, you will not be a failure unless you stay where you are. And if you're with Jesus, it's not possible to stay where you are. And therefore, by definition, you cannot be a failure. You can fail, but you cannot be a failure if you're open to all that Jesus wants to give to you. When we let Jesus into our boats, we're letting him steer us. We're letting him pour grace upon grace, overwhelming us. Not with a finger-wagging exercise, didn't I tell you you'd get it wrong? more and more love and forgiveness and hope and resurrection life. The only reason he doesn't give us more is because we can't take more. We're not prepared to ask for more. There is no end to the amount of love and grace that he wants to pour upon you. And if anyone ever makes you feel like that, he will make you feel that high and more. Because in him, you become like him. And there is none greater, no more wonderful, no more loving than the Lord Jesus. If you say you're a failure, in part, you're making him a failure, which we know is impossible. Therefore, by letting his life energies, his forgiveness, his love into our lives, we can never, ever be left at that point of failure. Peter, at that stage, didn't know the full story of his redemption. He thought it was about love, practical love, commission. But of course, Peter would go on to know so much more about the full of plan of redemption. That Jesus would go on to a cross to die for Peter and for the others and for us, as part of the totality of his saving love. Verse 10 says, talks about the greater promise. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Are you hearing that, friends? I know the things that bring fear to us, but let Jesus help you so that you hit that place where you are no longer afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men, he says to Peter. And then, seeing Peter's expectancy, verse 11 records, they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything and followed him. Now, I don't know how this all relates to your own individual situation. I don't know whether some of you may be feeling like the disciples who worked all night and pulled up those nets and just felt that emptiness of the nets that they were pulling into to the boat. Is that how you feel about your marriage? Is there something in your marriage that makes you feel something of that emptiness? Is there something that's not quite right there? Is that how you feel about a friendship, another relationship that seems to be fruitless, no matter how hard you're working at it? Is that a feeling that you have about your workplace? That you're working incredibly hard to pull up the nets and yet at times there doesn't seem to be the reward for what you're doing and there's not that sense of fulfillment in what you're doing? Maybe you've got that sense of pulling in empty nets when you're doing your daily devotions. Maybe because you fear it's all going to be empty that you don't even do them. Or maybe for some of you, you're hauling the nets in, but you're just going through the rope because you know that you should be doing daily devotions. But actually, you're not really spending time in relationship. Are you frustrated because you're not seeing enough evidence of God at work? You're looking for the spectacular when perhaps the spectacular isn't always the answer of Jesus. Maybe you're struggling to hear God's voice and you think there's something wrong with me. Why isn't God talking to me? Or maybe you feel you've gone off the boil in terms of your discipleship, and you're pulling in heavy, or nets that are not heavy. Are you questioning your desire or your ability to go on in the face of this perceived failure? Then here's the message. You can only give up when God gives up. You may not get a solution overnight, but you need Jesus in the boat with you, because he can transform your feelings of failure into means of grace. He can transform your godly expectations into gospel opportunities and personal fulfillment. How do I know this? I know it because it happened to Peter. I know it because it has happened to so many thousands of others. And I know it because it's happened to me. I encourage you to spend time with the prayer ministry team at the end of the service. Maybe there's something that God has been saying to you this morning. Maybe you just need to spend a bit more time in prayer this morning before you depart. Or maybe you need to bring into the church prayer life some other concern. I invite you to be part of that prayer invitation. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray for any who have got this perception of being a failure. I just pray, Lord, that your words which I pray will have been your words that I have spoken, but the words that you've spoken in the songs, in the Bible reading, will be an encouragement. That those who feel in some way they're second class, second rate, will just accept how much they're valued and loved by you and us. I pray particularly, Lord, if there are some who cannot forgive themselves. Lord, I pray against this as being against your will. We know that there is nothing that you cannot forgive, and therefore for us not to forgive even ourselves is adverse to your will. And therefore I pray, Lord, for self-forgiveness as much as forgiveness for others. I pray for those who in the past have had daunting experiences that have marred even the present. That you will just take up that baggage and will just deal with it and bring liberation and life and freedom. And I pray that we will all know that experience of being overawed by your grace and having the joy of being able to turn our experiences into positives as we talk to other people. And in so doing, may we and those we speak to be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to close our service as we sing the voice of hope, of how even in the storms, Jesus is present as high as the heavens.